everyone. It's Marianne Williamson here, and I'm so grateful to be with you, and particularly because, as you know, I'm involved in something else right now. I'm running for president of the United States. And I think I want to begin by talking about the relationship between that and my being here. They're two completely separate universes, and it really feels good to be with you in a conversation that is not the one I'm having on a daily basis, because my days are spent campaigning. But I cannot imagine a situation where I am more challenged to practice what I preach than running for president. And that brings me to the raison d'etre for this particular course. We are living in very turbulent times. You don't have to be running for president to experience the chaos and kind of the genuine craziness of the times in which we live. And what I find, once again, it's about practicing what I preach. Once again, it's about simply taking the things that we already know and applying them on all of our issues. And what's happening today is that life is so complicated. Life is so chaotic in certain ways. Everything that's happened, and it's not just this president, it's social media, it's the economics of this time, it's the ideas that are flowing about it. There's just so much going on. The world is so complicated today. And the only way to thrive when life is complicated is to find a place within yourself that's very simple. And that's really what this course is about. Some of you have heard me say this a million times, but it's of all the things that I've ever read and learned from the Course in Miracles and everywhere else that I've learned from, it is the one thing that I know to be true more than any other based on my own experience. And that is, the world will always lure you. The world will always take you away from your center. If you allow that to happen, you will not only be living in the chaos, you will be at the effect of the chaos. I remember when my daughter, who I'm sure is with us on this call, was a little girl. And, you know, sometimes you see in children, you can see when they start to cry, you can just see them starting to spin out. And usually a parent says, okay, well, she needs a nap or he needs a nap. On a small child, it's very acted out when they're just kind of falling apart. It's just too much. And I remember I used to say to my then little girl, put your hand on your heart, honey. Go back to your heart. Go back to your center. Well, that's what's happening to adults today. We just don't act it out in ways that are as obvious necessarily. But people are spinning out. And I see so many situations in life where I think, I don't know how people are making it without a spiritual base. I just don't know how people are making it, because from the perspective of A Course in Miracles and books like A Course in Miracles, the world outside us is the realm of effect, but it's not the realm of cause. So when we want to change our lives and seek to do it only by changing things on the outside, we're finding ourselves constantly in a mode of struggle. We're constantly grasping to make things change. And the Course in Miracles says that the greatest power we have to change the world is to change our mind about the world. And that means you wake up in the morning and you remember who you are and you remember why you're here. And that's what this course is about. It's like little fortune cookies, you know. I made the pieces very small. Just a few minutes to center you, to watch it or to listen to it, to always go back in any situation. Who am I? And why am I here? Because if you take that answer as God created the answer and apply it to any situation, the situation unfolds in harmony, the situation unfolds in peace, and where things need to be corrected, things will correct themselves. Who are you? You are a child of God. That is the same, to say that is the same thing as saying you are in the mind. You are an idea in the mind of God. It is the same thing as saying you are the effect of love. God is cause. You are effect. Love creates love. The Course in Miracles says love is all there is. Just, you might just take a moment to just kind of take that in. Love is all that is. Everything else is just a vast mass hallucination of sorts. Just, it's the human mind separated from its source. So when we know that, and we ground ourselves in that knowledge in the morning, and that would be, I think, the best practice use of this course, is that you ground yourself with one of these pieces in the morning, that this is who I am, and as love, as a child of love, you have a purpose on this earth. You might be an executive assistant, you might be a lawyer, you might be a healer, you might be a scientist, you might be a teacher, you might be whatever you are. You are there for one purpose, and that is that your life might be a conduit. Your life and your work might be a ministry whereby love is channeled into the world. And the form of your work is not what matters. Imagine things I'm going through right now. And having to remind myself, this is just an act of love. It's just a one big act of love, Marianne. Nothing else is going on here. But boy, the chatter of the world, the illusion of the world, the craziness of the world, the chaos of the world is always tempting you. No, this is going on. That's going on. And then you don't like what's going on, and you try to change what's going on. It's enough to put everybody into the space that so many people are in today, which is just a level of stress, a level of anxiety that is unsustainable, really. It's like, what happened to the joy of living? I just sometimes think, ever since the advent of social media, I'm not sure it's improved things. I was saying to someone yesterday, I miss the 70s. And it's a pretty funny thing to say. I never thought I would say miss the 70s. I don't think anybody looks at the 70s as a decade when that you look back on and say, oh, I miss the 70s. But that was before there was this income inequality. It all started in the 80s. It's before the social media and the computers. And it was the last sort of simple time. And now we have to cultivate simplicity because it's not a given. And there's a certain kind of simplicity that the soul needs to breathe. We're all so busy. And we are moving so fast. And we're not in our wisdom. We're not in our strength. You know, you say things that later you go, oh, God, why did I say that? You do things, later you say, why did I do it? Or you tweet something and you wish you hadn't tweeted it. We have simply got to find another way. And the Course in Miracles says that is when life changes. The Course in Miracles says salvation begins when we consider the possibility that there might be another way. Now, remember, when the Course in Miracles, books like the Course in Miracles talk about salvation, they're talking about the only thing to be saved from. And the only thing to be saved from is our own crazy thinking. Because everything that we experience in life is a product of our thinking. And when our thinking changes, everything changes. And once again, that's why this course exists. That's why these little pieces, you just put one of them on, you listen or you see it, to just realign yourself. It's, you know, I love how in the Course in Miracles he says, my way is not difficult, but it is different. And there's something about when two or more gather. There's just something about another person's voice laying it down for you. You know, it's difficult to priest yourself. So hopefully what you will experience here is that my voice, by simply saying these principles and talking about them in terms of the things that matter most, hopefully what that will do for you is to take you to a place where, okay, I get it, I'm realigned, and I can take it from here. Because part of what seems so complicated about life is all the categories of life. Here's where I have to deal with my love life. Here's where I have to deal with my financial life. Here's where I need to deal with my health. Here's where I need to deal with my children. But when we recognize that quantum space that is beyond the world entirely, all that any situation is, it's just a relationship between us and our own source, or God as we understand it, where we know if I wake up in the morning and I spend, the Course in Miracles says, 5 minutes spent with the Holy Spirit in the morning is enough to guarantee that the Spirit of God will be in charge of your thought forms throughout the day. So you simply ground yourself in that. And if you don't ground yourself in that, it's like not taking a bath or not taking a shower. Because the issue is, just like you don't want to take yesterday's dirt on your body out into the day, if you take yesterday's stress into the day, what stress and anxiety do is they knock us out of our center. And that's why we're not calm. But we're not calm because we're not thinking the only thoughts that can produce calm. And that is that all that's going on here is love reaching out to love. But remember, the Course in Miracles says that the thinking of the world is 180 degrees away from the thinking of God. It's opposite the thinking of God, because the thinking of the world is based on a belief in the world of separation. We're separated from each other. We're separated from nature. And the basic state of humanity's consciousness is a state of low-grade hysteria, that we don't even know we're hysterical. And we keep trying to get out of the craziness by changing circumstances. As soon as I get this or that job, as soon as I get this or that degree, as soon as I get this or that money, then I can relax. But this makes us very brittle, and it puts us in a place where we're vulnerable to our own ego default positions, and we all have different ways that we act out our stress, different ways that we blow it out, different ways that we either act it out or take it in. And they're both dangerous, because one is where we, you know, those of us who act it out and yell or whatever, and others of us who don't do that but take it in ways that could make us sick, because we're taking it all in. And neither one is healthy, neither one is vital, and neither one is sustainable. So just like you take a shower, just like you brush your teeth because you don't want to take yesterday's dirt in your body, you meditate, you pray, you know. And, you know, we have the daily meditations. We have my reading, of course, if you do the Course in Miracles on a daily basis. This is as important, you know. You simply can't not eat well. You simply can't not exercise. There are things that you just need to do to cultivate a healthy body. And similarly, there are things you need to do to cultivate a healthy mind, things you need to do to cultivate a healthy spirit. And that's why I hope that you experience this course as nutrition, nutrition for the soul, that which we feed ourselves. That's what truth principles do. They feed us. And the thinking that dominates the world, if we just allow ourselves to be at the effect of the thinking that dominates the world, it's like we're eating junk food all the time. And that's because of the thinking of the world being dominated by, you know, by the thought system of fear. And it has devastating effects. We make mistakes. We don't attract the kinds of situations we want. Our personalities become more fear-based, negative, angry, needy, tough, whatever it is that we do. And, it, you know, those, what I've seen in myself, I kind of like when I look at my own character defects, and I see it as kind of like when plaque, you know, plaque on your teeth, or plaque on your teeth is actually physically the same stuff as, you know, plaque on your, you know, on your arteries. And you got to scrape it off. And it's difficult to do intellectually, but we can pray it away. And we can look and go, this isn't the way I want to be. This will not get me the life I want. Because what happens when we're not in our center, we're not as attractive, literally not as attractive, as in attract. We don't attract love when we're not showing our love, and sometimes we're not feeling our love, and because of our pain, we're showing that which is not love, and then life doesn't work. We don't attract partners, we don't attract colleagues, we don't attract friends. And that's why the Course in Miracles says, this course does not aim to teach the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. But it does aim to remove the barriers we hold against love's coming. And some of those barriers are our own character defects. You know, sometimes it's as simple as, dear God, please make me not so tough. Dear God, make me not so negative. Dear God, take away my hostility. Dear God, take away my neediness. Dear God, take away my controlling nature. There's a part in the Course in Miracles where it says, beware. I don't know if it says beware the power of an unrecognized belief or beware the danger of an unrecognized belief. But I've had a couple of times in my life where I came to the key to a huge problem and realized it was so simple. It was just my thinking about something was funky. It was many years ago, and it had to do with employees. And I knew that I wasn't coming across in a way that was appreciated. And I came ultimately to understand it was such a simple thing. I thought, erroneously, that I had to hold the space of the person, well, I'm the employer here, in a way that was unnecessary, because everybody knew that I was the employer. My bearing didn't have to remind anyone of that. And that for an employee to feel loved is the greatest inspiration and motivation of all. Now, when you see that, it's like, duh. Shouldn't have to read a book to know that. And I shouldn't have had to read any book other than The Course in Miracles to know that. It was just an unrecognized belief. And then also as you get older, the problem is that these character, because these are your character defects. You form emotional habit patterns. And then it becomes a habit. That's the problem. Being a certain way becomes a habit. I was reading something the other day. I think it was a quote from Deepak Chopra. And it was really powerful. It was a quote, something about, next time a certain situation happens, just decide you're not going to react the way you always have. Just say, I don't have to react the same way I reacted every other time this happened. And I have seen in my life, and I think once again, this as we get older, it becomes more and more, that these things become habits. Why did you act negative? I don't know, it's just a habit. Why did you judge? I don't know, it's just a habit. Why did you make it about you? I don't know, it's just a habit. Why did you jump to the conclusion that's the most cynical? I don't know, it's just a habit. And you know, and then those habits accumulate, and you call it a personality. And sometimes you just have to take a really good look at your life and say, is this the life I want? And then you go, well, it's the life that emanates from who I am and how I come across in the world. And sometimes we say, well, I'll change once these circumstances are handled. But really, the circumstances will change when we do. So, on one hand, this is easier said than done. But on the other hand, it's not hard so much as it's hard to face our resistance to doing this. And then it goes back into what I was saying before. If you don't spend enough time alone and you don't spend enough time in quiet, then you just don't go into those deeper waters where these kinds of transformations happen. So 5 minutes in the morning. 5 minutes in the morning. Keep that Course in Miracles or whatever your inspirational reading is. Keep it next to your bed. You know, even if you just look at it. Even if you just wake up and just look at it. See, even if you just look at a sentence. But don't start the day reaching for the phone, downloading the thinking of the world, because when you wake up in the morning is when you're the most stressed. And I know all about it, guys, because you can imagine with what I'm going through today. And in any given moment, I can say something, I can do something that could just blow up and become, you know, and it's already happened a couple times. You know, just you say something, oh, I wish I said that differently. Well, you know, the whole world's talking about the fact you said it the way you did. It's a high wire act, you know. But I see it now in my life more than I've ever seen. If you do this stuff, it works. Always go back to your quiet place. And I made these, when India asked me if I do this course, one of the reasons I was excited about doing it is because I need it right now. You know, I said to a girlfriend of mine the other day, I asked about something in her life, and she said, oh, Marianne, I know you're so busy with what you're doing right now. You don't have time to worry about this. I said, oh, it's the opposite. I would go crazy if I didn't take some time that's just about life. You know, I'm looking out right now a window. I'm at my apartment in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm looking out and the trees are so beautiful. And, you know, we say things all the time like, you need to stop and smell the roses. But, you know, it's really true. We don't take enough walks in nature. Earlier today, I visited an urban farm. A couple who, basically, their whole front yard, side yard, and backyard is farming vegetables. It's just unbelievable. You know, just to see the Brussels sprouts and the celery and the green peppers and the tomatoes and the rhubarb, cabbage, how extraordinary it is when it's growing from the ground. These are the spaces of home. And so much of the environmental crisis is a reflection of the fact that we're disconnected from nature. We need to connect, you know, these days people talk about we're disconnected from source. I don't have a problem with the word God. Some people just are more comfortable saying disconnected from source. But whatever words you use, that is the problem. And the way the universe is set up, nature is here to keep us connected. That's why being outside enough is so important. Being in nature enough is so important. Not being on your phone, not being on your computer, being with other people. We have to return to those simple things in life. And then we go back into a world of complication, and we're miracle workers because we take our peace with us. That's the point. The point is to find our peace. You cannot find your peace in the world. You find your peace in God's arms, in love, in loving thought, whatever your practice is. And then we go out into the world and we take that love with us. I'm going to take some questions now that people have written in. It says, how do you sustain a relationship with someone who does not share your ethics? Well, I have to tell you something. I think that would be very difficult to do. If you said, how do you sustain a relationship with someone who does not share your spiritual practice, I would say easy, because who are you to judge their spiritual practice? But ethics is everything. I don't know how you could retain your respect for someone who did not live an ethical life. Now, we're all innocent children of God, and not about judgment, but it is about discernment. If someone is living a life where they are treating other people in an unethical way, I think sharing the deeper alchemy of relationship would be very difficult. And I can't see how it would ultimately serve. Now, you might be married to this person and you might have children with them. That brings up more complication, of course. But assuming that you're not, I would see it as the one deal breaker. Not that you wouldn't love that person, but love is of the mind. Mortal relationship is of the body or form. And without an ethical alliance, I don't see where love can be sustained. Now, this one says, from Justine, there seems to be so much shift and change in the world. Stepping out of the political scene for a moment, what is your vision for the world for 2020? And how do you see our new way of being playing a part in this new world? Well, I think in politics, as in everything else, the issue is the same. I think that humanity now stands at a crossroads. I think that in terms of politics, Barack Obama was the last president of the United States who was dealing with the consequences and symptoms and circumstances of the 20th century world. We're now in a different century, different millennium, and a whole different set of moral and spiritual imperatives. We will evolve to the understanding that we are all one, that we are all connected, that what we do to others, we are essentially doing to ourselves, and one day we will realize that. We will either evolve to the large we and move past the narcissism of sole focus on me, or we will not survive. And I think 2020 will be a year in which huge forces gather around one path or the other. And each of us, in ways both seen and unseen, contribute our energies to the collective choice. You know, you might think that you're being more loving, more forgiving in a certain relationship didn't affect anyone but you. But there's really no such thing. Like, the universe has eyes. A friend of mine put it so beautifully once. She said, the universe keeps a perfect set of books. And the Course in Miracles says that when you do forgive, when you are more loving, more compassionate, less judgmental, that you affect situations you would never even dream of. The next question, for a woman who wants it all, career, success, impact, husband, kids, what's your advice? If I have any advice to give, it's this. I think all of us can have it all, but not necessarily immediately and not necessarily all at once. I think of life like a lasagna. It takes 5 years to get the sauce together. It takes another 5 years to put the cheese together. Another 5 years to boil the noodles. And then it's not till somewhere around the 40s, sometimes later, the 50s even, that it all starts coming together. I think people are so impatient today. And I've seen in my life, I've seen this a lot. I think it's a character defect of mine. Sometimes I get there too late. I don't settle into a relationship, or I don't settle into a circumstance, or I don't settle into a geographical place because I'm worrying that this might not be the right one, or I'm not inhabiting it so much as I'm questioning or I'm judging it. And only later do I see, no, that was actually the perfect place. That was actually totally where I needed to be. You know, when India was a little girl, we lived in Santa Barbara. And when we moved there, I was engaged. And it's a perfect place to be if you're kind of coupled and in a family situation. But I broke off that relationship. And I was a single mother with a very, very small child, stuck in a place that felt to me very lonely. But I realized later that that was actually the perfect place for me to be bonding with her. That's what that period was for. But I didn't relax into that enough at the time. And why? Because I wanted it all. It's this, but it's not that. We all do that too much about any circumstance. It's this, but what about that? Rather than trusting the universe, everything in its own time. This is the moment for this. And there will be a later moment for that. So don't miss this one. So I believe the universe is set up to support all of us in winning. You know, there's in the Talmud, it says that over every blade of grass, there is an angel bent over whispering, grow, grow, grow. Everything carries the DNA, the imprint, the blueprint for its perfect self. Within the acorn, there's the blueprint for the oak tree. Within the embryo, there's the blueprint for the baby. And within you, there is already a blueprint for your life at its most perfect. But you have to allow it to unfold. And for me, what I've seen is the greatest way I can do that is to really try to be where I am when I'm there. This one says, if everything has already happened, how do we have free will? Well, the way I look at that is I'm destined to meet someone, but how I play the relationship is completely up to me. So the Course in Miracles says that all relationships are assignments and that we meet when we have maximal soul growth opportunity with someone. And the Course in Miracles says, all who meet will someday meet again until their relationship becomes holy. So it is, you are destined to meet that person, and you are destined to have pure, holy love with them. It's, boy, it's up to you how long that's going to take within the illusion. It's up to you how much suffering is going to have to happen first. So the Course in Miracles says, it is not up to you what you learn. It is merely up to you whether you learn through joy or through pain. This one says, throughout my life, I've experienced a lot of anxiety and very low self-esteem and confidence. Do you think this program can help me? Well, I want to tell you something. I think the most important thing you want to do, I mean, you've really named the big stuff, anxiety, low self-esteem, and confidence. The most important thing for you to do is something like the Course in Miracles itself. Either the Course or some other serious spiritual program. For instance, as you'll see, I'm sure she's got it on the Williamson Institute website. You might want to look at the readings of the workbook of the Course in Miracles, or if not my reading of it, your reading of it, whatever it is. But if you are doing that deep work, then this course on top of that, I believe, will very definitely help you, because it will help keep you in shape. You know, spiritual exercise is just like physical exercise. You know, it's building your musculature. Building your musculature, and that's what I feel this course will help you do. It will help you build your attitudinal musculature. But as my daughter would also say, I'm not going to lie to you. That's a term she uses a lot. I'm not going to lie. So I'm not going to lie. If you've experienced a lot of anxiety and very low self-esteem and confidence, I would hope that you would look. You know, I think of myself and my work. Think of me as a nice piece of rye bread on the banquet. But the Course in Miracles is the banquet itself. I say that without false modesty. I have confidence in my work. I have confidence in this course. But if you are using words like you just used, I would like you to consider doing some very deep work, such as the Course in Miracles, or something along that line. The Course does not claim a monopoly on truth. You do that, you know, it's kind of like food and vitamins. This course is like the very highest quality vitamin, but you can't not eat the food. Marianne, I'm wanting to make progress and move forward in life after making mistakes and repeating my own habitual patterns in relationships. My ego mind is telling me, you knew you were messing up before. Bad behavior, controlling partner based on fear, and weren't able to change yourself. You're going to mess this up too. I'm struggling to move forward after a relationship ended, job loss, and friendships ending. I can accept my failings, letting my ego mind rule me, making choices based on fear. But how does someone trust themselves in moving forward when they're smart enough to have overcome the ego mind in the past but didn't? My ego mind won't let me believe I can overcome the egoic thinking and fear again to move ahead in my life, move my life forward. Any words of wisdom appreciated? A Course in Miracles student. Well, I have been where you are. You know, I write books on the Course in Miracles. I give talks about these things. And sometimes when I've made mistakes, I go, that mistake was based on getting one of the most basic principles wrong. But that's because this stuff is hard. You know, knowing it intellectually, the Course in Miracles says that enlightenment begins as an intellectual construct. And then it takes a journey without distance from the head to the heart. And the Course in Miracles says that every situation is a lesson faithfully rehearsed. And, you know, some lessons we don't play correctly. And one of the places I go into in the Course is that part where you atone, where you go back to the moment in which you made the mistake, and you have to look at it, and you have to recognize what you did wrong, and you have to atone for it. Make amends where necessary. But the thing is, it will be coming back around. I mean, it might not be the same person. It might not be the same place. You know, it'll be a different form. But you will get a chance to play the same situation again. And that goes back to the quote from Deepak. Will you be different next time? You know, dear God, may I not be who I was. And, you know, I see in myself, it keeps you humble to know that you can blow it like the best of them. But I think part of this idea of going into the wisdom, going into the simplicity, going into the silence, going into the sacred, is that in that place, life not only works, and self-organizes, as I say all the time. But life also self-corrects. We've all made mistakes. All of us have. And we're all fragile. All of us. And all of us yearn for love. And all of us feel some level of shame and embarrassment and humiliation at times. That's life. I think one of the things that helps us, if you think, Ebony, about the mistakes you've made, remember, so is everybody else. Everybody's living with regret of some kind, I think. at some point or another. But we can pray to be better because of the experience. We already talked about how it makes you more humble, makes you more grateful next time love comes around, makes you more careful next time, makes you more responsible next time. And it makes you someone who knows, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this course. Because one of the things we come to understand is, boy, if I don't ground myself in truth, God knows what I might do on any given day. What I might say, what I might do. You know, I sent a tweet about a hurricane. And it's just kind of sloppy. I do understand about praying, et cetera, but I'm running for president, so it was kind of stupid for me to send that tweet. Not because I think anything's wrong with the tweet that I sent, because I don't, actually. But I do understand that it was not responsible to myself to word something that way. It was not the correct thing to do. And it gave ammunition to those who would wish to mock me and hurt me and peripheralize my candidacy. So a friend of mine wrote me, and it wasn't easy to read when he wrote it, but he said, I think you need to take 2 days off. And you need to ask yourself, why'd you do that? Where were you in your head that you would have been in that moment just not careful? I'd done something very early in the campaign where, you know, I was just starting. I didn't know. When I did this one, why did I allow that to happen? And that's part of this whole social media thing. Tweets are just too easy. Texting is too easy. Social media can really take you away from your deeper truth. You know, I'm used to writing a book. You edit, you go over it all the time. You send a tweet, especially today. If you're in any kind of a public life, you delete, and oh my God, you deleted a tweet. And that's an example. We do things and then later we hate ourselves for it. So the bottom line is, where there is love, miracles occur naturally. And where something was not perfect, where we made mistakes, where we were not in love either towards ourselves or towards others, or others were not in love towards us, all that can and will be corrected. God is so great. To even consider that is so awesome. To even consider that beyond what our physical eyes can see, beyond what our physical ears can hear, beyond what our physical hands can touch, there is an oceanic field of love from whence all of this came, holding all of this together, and striving to take all of us to the next best place. And that is why we're on the earth, to be a conduit for that next best thing. Wherever you are, whatever your job, whatever your relationship, it's all perfect. We think, oh, this is the wrong situation. Actually, it's the perfect situation. If you just bless it, bless the people you work with every morning when you wake up. Bless your employer, bless your employee. Send love from your heart. Send love to everybody you know you're going to meet today. Send love to everybody you don't know you're going to meet today. Ask the Spirit of God to come over you. Ask the Spirit of God to come over your project, your business. And you might want to close your eyes right now if you're not driving. And open your heart. And give your life to love. Stand naked before God. And we pray that the Holy Spirit enter into the deepest regions of every thought and every feeling. That miracles might flow through us as our hearts are purified of fear.
Take from us our anger. Take from us our grievances. Take from us our judgments. Take from us our jealousy. Take from us our neediness. Take from us our controlling nature. Take from us our embarrassment. Take from us our humiliation. Take from us our guilt. Take from us our rage. Take from us our hostility. Take from us our toughness. Take from us all that is not you, that we might know who we truly are. Remove all layers, dear God, of that which is false, that we might stand in the light of our true being. The loving fire that is the truth of who we are, created by you. At one with you, and at one with each other. Knowing we cannot have a miracle where we hold a grievance, let us think of everyone that we resent or feel anger towards or judge in any way. And let us in this moment forgive them. Let a great wave of forgiveness come upon us and that other person or those other people. And may love wash away the walls that stand between us. And help us, dear God, to forgive ourselves. Help us remember that in any given moment we are born again to new possibilities. That as we change, so shall the world. Help us to grow ever closer to you. For in our oneness with you is our oneness with ourselves. And there lies our peace. May all the anxiety, the depression, the fear, the trauma of living in this world at the effect of this world fall away as we rest in the arms of love itself. Here, we are who we truly are. Our lives made new at last. I want to thank all of you for being on the call with me. I pray that all of you feel the hand of God upon you. Let us take this moment to wish each other well. I want to thank and to acknowledge my daughter, India, for providing us this space. I ask that you join with her and with me in dedicating the Williamson Institute to the work of love in the world, praying that all of the work that we do here be a conduit for the healing power of love in our lives and love on earth. May this call, may this course, may all that we're doing here be used to serve the world. And so it is, everyone. I hope that the course, if you feel moved to get the course, takes everything up a notch for you. That's the spirit. That was the hope, that was the intention in which it was created. Much love to all of you. I thank you so much for being with me. And from this point forward, may all things be good in your life. Much love. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.